continue where we left off last week. So last week we mentioned...
You can spend the rest of the summer on the topic.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure. I think we're going to finish it tonight. We'll see if we have more...
Well, you just have a divine technology and didn't know what, but actually...
Maybe.
There you go. This is it.
This is definitely it. So last week we spoke about whether it's a problem of business on Shabbos, and because it's the passive business, which where you're not involved, and that discussion of where likening it to the situation of where they make a kinyan on Friday, and they do the transaction on Friday, that it should take effect on Shabbos, whether that was a violation of the rabbinic decree of doing business on Shabbos. So that was one issue we spoke about last week, and the other issue was that they loosened the Shabbos, the not Shabbos-dick type of activities, and how to define that. So there are a few other issues that you need to figure out whether they apply in these types of areas. So really piggybacking on the discussion of whether it's a violation of the Gzeira D'Rabbanan of Mekach U'Memkar, doing business on Shabbos. So we were assuming that by placing an order on the website that there was some type of transaction taking place. The Jewish owner of the company was not involved. He was a passive bystander of accepting the order, but he was not involved in the web. He was not involved in the transaction, but there was still a transaction taking place. That was the assumption, and that was what we assumed last week. Now, it's not so clear exactly whether that's true. Right? There are different kinyanim, you know, there are different ways of acquiring things. You can use kesef, you can exchange money, you can make a hanva by picking something up, you can put something into my chaser and I'm into my courtyard and I can acquire it through my courtyard. I can acquire it by doing some action of ownership, by affecting it, by changing it. Now, there are different things that I can do to show ownership of an object. And the question is whether writing in my credit card number and pressing buy on a website, is that considered a transaction? I mean, is that even considered I'm buying something at that point? Right, what kind of kinyan is that? In halacha, the question is, what kind of kinyan is that? Right, are you really buying anything halachically? Was there a transaction where something was not mine, I now did something and now it became mine? Did anything happen? So there, it's not so clear. Because halachically, there's no kinyan of a credit card.
Wasn't there made a shtar because you put in your credit card information and you got a confirmation on screen, and even more than that, you got an email to your account saying you have purchased this thing. We are going to ship this thing to you. It's an acknowledgement and sort of like an IOU.
Yeah. Oh, so it's an IOU. Mm-hmm. Okay, so good. So it could be an IOU, but an IOU is not. You're saying if it's a shtar, then there is a transaction. Is that? I don't know if that's really a shtar. I'm not sure. It's an interesting way of looking at it. I didn't see anybody mention there being a shtar, maybe because they weren't talking about what I got in return. But how would that work? That's a shtar coming from them to me.
Saying that we're going, I promise you, you already paid for this, and I promise you I'm going to deliver it.
So is that really true? Did I really pay for it yet?
Like you said in the last year.
Did they get any money?
The money was not deposited in their bank account.
Right, usually not.
Certainly
right.
Not. Yeah.
Right. So that not certainly not if it's on Shabbos.
Well, certainly not even, the same day that doesn't happen. Like credit card transactions are settled usually at midnight. So it didn't the credit card processor didn't even process the payment yet.
Mm-hmm.
They did a check to make sure the money is available, but
right.
Nothing happens until midnight.
Nothing.
And certainly you're not going to get any money until your account, usually several days later. But definitely nothing's going to happen that day in terms of money being moved.
So even if it's Yontif, it'll, you know, if I purchase something during the day, so then at night, 12 o'clock at night, you're telling me that's when the
transaction occurs,
so then it's already the next day.
That's when it starts, and then being completely settled can take a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
What about all these truths that tell me?
Right, so that's the question, is exactly, because that could be, selling aliyahs is a little bit different. Selling aliyahs might be a little bit different. The question of, you know, that's also, you're saying I owe you something, but is that
really
a transaction?
And you're getting it on Shabbos, you're actually receiving what you've purchased.
Right, but I assume you can't be responsible for a couple of steps here. Like, you can't be responsible for when a credit card company gives money to a bank account. That can happen on Shabbos for all you know, but if you're doing business on Thursday, you know, and you think your portion of the transaction is done, it's not your fault if it happens to settle Friday night,
mm-hmm.
or if they deposit the money into the merchant's account on a Saturday afternoon.
Right.
You have no control over that, just like you have no control if the UPS guy comes on Shabbos to try to deliver your Amazon package to your house.
Right.
Like, you did all of your work before Shabbos.
Right. So you're no longer involved. Right.
As
and you're completely passive, happens to be, they'll put money into your account on Shabbos. But that's... for a different time.
Mm-hmm.
But that,
the question all comes, when is the Kinyan actually made or
happening,
done?
But
right.
But it depends what type of Kinyan. In other words, if you order cookies before Pesach,
yeah.
and they come to your house, UPS, you don't know when they're coming, you know, it's a lead time, and they come to your house on Pesach, you're acquiring those cookies on Pesach, and
that's
you still have
a decision.
Okay, but you still have a problem
having
those
you can
cookies.
You say, I don't want them.
Right.
If you say, I don't want them, then
right.
you're not going to know. But
yeah,
so apparently a number of years ago there was a certain newspaper who sent cereal in their newspaper on Pesach. Chametz Dikta cereal, little packets to try on Pesach. And there's a whole discussion as to, you know, is everybody who gets that newspaper violating the Isser of Bal Yiroh Bal Yimatzeh?
That's really out of your control.
Yeah, yeah.
Still have to deal with it.
So deal with it, right. So the answer is no, as long as you don't have kavana, as long as you don't have das to be kona, meaning, you know, they throw it into your chatzer, and they throw it into your driveway, so now it's in your chatzer, and one of the ways that you can acquire an object
more
is
than that, because
your chatzer.
You actually purchased it. It's not like the
you purchased the newspaper.
Right.
You didn't purchase the cereal.
Okay, but let's say you purchased, it was once, and, you know, my mother had a thing with her office. I mean, somebody in her office ordered the Girl Scout cookies because they were selling them.
Mm-hmm.
So you order the Girl Scout cookies, and then 3 months later they show up. You don't know when they're showing up, and our colleague received them on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
And didn't know what to do with them.
Right.
Definitely
take them.
Okay.
Right, no, right. Yeah. So I mean, the end of the story in that the cereal case happened to be that the, as we mentioned last week, in order to make a transaction halacha, you need das kone, das machne, and a maisa kinyan. You need to have das of the machne, the one who's selling it, the das of the kone, the one who's buying it, and you need the maisa kinyan, some form of transaction, some action of transaction. So a chatzer is an action of transaction. Having something placed into your courtyard is a way to acquire something. Das Machne, the ones who are selling it, they're giving it to you. But if you, as long as you don't have Das, as long as you, the Kone, the buyer, do not want to acquire that object, so then it never can become yours. A chatzer is not Kone for you against your will. So as long as you don't want it, so then it's never yours.
Except
you just,
for a get.
Except for a get.
Put your get into your wife's yard, and she's and the kinyan is done.
Yeah,
hey, if
you can,
then
what?
Then
you can write it on a rock in her.
Well, so the chatzer of a woman might work a little differently than the chatzer of a man. There's the rush in Bava Metzia there discusses exactly the mechanics of the chatzer of a woman as opposed to the chatzer of a man. Maybe. That's the proof that the chatzer of a man works as a shliach. So the machlokes in the Gemara whether chatzer mitam shlichus or chatzer mitam yad, whether a chatzer a courtyard is acquires for you as a shliach, as a messenger, or whether it acquires as a yad, as a hand. So the Gemara says by men. So the Rush explains that by men chatzer mitam shlichus, meaning it's as a messenger. And a messenger can only acquire for you if you send a messenger to acquire for you, as long as it's for your good. If somebody offers me something and I know that you would want it, so I can buy it for you, I can accept it and make the Isaac Kinyan for you and acquire it for you, even without your knowledge, but because certainly it's for your good. It's zechus for you, and therefore that works. But if it's against my will, if it would be bad for me, so then the shliach can't acquire anything for me. The messenger can't acquire anything for me if I wouldn't want him to do it and if it would be bad for me. So, but a chatzer of a woman works as a yad. It works as a hand, in which case it may not matter. But so, anyway.
So, but getting back to the Amazon example, so there's three parts, as I teach, to the transaction, right? I'm placing my order info, the payment is getting processed, which is many steps under itself, and the package is delivered.
Mm-hmm.
So when does the kinyan happen?
That's a good question. That's a good question. Right. And now, that's a good question for Shabbos, first of all, for Hilchos Shabbos. Second of all, for Pesach, let's say, like the case that I already mentioned, that somebody's acquiring cookies and pays for them in January and gets them on Pesach. So, or let's say gets them after Pesach. So were they mine during Pesach because I paid for them in January, or do they only become mine when I get them?
Take the cookie, they probably won't bake until March 9th because they're not merchandising
the limit. Not around. Okay, so that might be different. If it wasn't there, then that would be different.
Unless the IOU counts as the goods in the meantime.
I don't know. I don't think I'd be over on Bayura for somebody owning me chametz.
I'm saying for Kenyan.
Oh, for Kenyan purposes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, I was talking about for when do I have ownership.
Just burn the receipt from the meantime.
Yeah, no, the question is when do you have ownership? That's a good question. When exactly does the transaction take place? And that's partially of what, you know, how it all connects to this question. When I put my, let's say the transaction takes place when I pay for the object, right? And so now the object is mine and you have to bring it to me, right? But it's mine, you just have to bring it to me, which would mean that it's mine before. If you then bring it to me on Shabbos, I don't have to do a Maisa Kinyan. I don't have to pick it up to acquire it. It's mine already. You're just delivering goods that are mine already. So that might be the case. The question is, let's say it was in our case, right, on the internet. I put in the credit card numbers, I click buy. So was there a transaction there? Is that the computer that I just bought online? Is that mine?
Yeah.
Is it mine now? Was there any transfer of ownership here?
I don't think so.
Is there a binding transaction?
Your transaction is accepted. Thank you for your purchase. Here's your receipt.
But some websites, when you click buy, some websites actually process your credit card. Some websites actually just take the info and then process it at a later date.
But either way, they're acknowledging that you paid for it.
Yes, the thing is,
it can still be turned down at some point.
It can always be turned down, even after they process your credit card.
Yeah.
If it turned out there was a pricing mistake or we're out of inventory, you didn't realize. You can always,
they can nullify the sale until when?
Until the product's been delivered.
Yeah.
Really?
Mm-hmm. They can come up with some, you know.
Yeah,
but you could.
Like you're saying, if they ran out of the inventory, I mean, you know, you're purchasing a shirt.
It happens.
It's
very interesting.
Uh-huh.
It's rare that there's inventory.
You have to meet their
problems. Pricing mistakes happen all the time.
Right.
And there have been lawsuits, and usually the consumer loses because they have in their fine print. We're not responsible for.
Right. So, okay. So the fine print is important here because. So the question is, what halachic kinyan would giving credit card numbers and clicking buy, what kind of halachic kinyan is that, right, in the halachic world? So it happens to be that with all of our lists of halachic kinyanim, there is one called the situmta, which basically means any acceptable transaction in the land that you live in. An acceptable transaction according to the laws of the land that you live in, that is a valid halachic transaction as well. There is a discussion as to whether that works even simply in speech, the dibur. Meaning, let's say everybody quotes in all these tshuvas, and then in the diamond world, they say mazel and bracha. That represents a kinyan, right? Mazel and bracha means I agree, right? So, is that enough of a real kinyan? Does that mean that the kinyan was there, or does it require the rush? Actually, says a handshake, and the mishmer hanshlag. Which means a handshake. That was an acceptable. When we shook hands, that means kinyan is accepted. The transaction is made. Nobody's backing out. So the question is to whether, if we have a conversation about it, whether that would be acceptable halachically, even if that's acceptable in the land, is that acceptable halachically? But certainly, I think this is not a bedibur. This is not just simply in a conversation. This is actually, you're doing something. You're giving your credit card numbers, you're giving all of your information, and you're clicking buy, right? So that's a maisa. There is some action involved there. So there are some who say that this is considered a transaction. that when you purchase something on the internet and you give them your credit card numbers, or even on the phone, and you give them your credit card numbers because they're writing it down, so there is a MISA there also, there is an action there also, that is actually considered a real kinyan, a real transaction. And therefore, if once the transaction occurs, so then halachically that would be a violation of doing business on Shabbos, because we're actually having a transaction on Shabbos. There might even be a transfer of ownership on Shabbos, right? A halachic transaction means that there is a transfer of ownership, right? When I make a halachic kinyan on something, I can owe you money afterwards, but once we make the formal maisa kinyan, the action of the transaction, so then it becomes mine. I owe you money, but it's now the object is mine, right? I can owe you money after the object is mine. I can owe you money as long as I want, but once the halachic transaction occurs, the object becomes mine, and there's a transfer of ownership. So it could be halachically, now, that this is considered a transfer of a real transaction, in which case this might be a violation of, or at least it's worthwhile to talk about whether this is a violation of doing business on Shabbos. That connects back to what we spoke about last week, which is when you're a passive player in a transaction on Shabbos, is that still a violation of doing business on Shabbos, right? If you set up the you do the action on Friday and it should take effect on Shabbos, which is similar to this case, so that's a machlokas achronim, whether that's an isser or not, whether that's a violation of the decree of not doing business on Shabbos or not. But that only you can only talk about that in this case if what you're doing by putting the numbers in the computer and pressing buy, if that is actually considered a halachic transaction. Others disagree and say it's not a transaction at all. All it is creating a hischaivus, which means it's creating I owe you, right? It's an obligation on my part to pay, and it's an obligation on the part of the seller to deliver the goods. But there was no transfer of ownership yet. There wasn't even a transfer of money, right? There was no kinyan kesef. Right, one way is by giving kesef, one way by giving money. That's also considered a transaction halachically. So there's no transaction yet. I buy something from your website on Shabbos.
Yeah.
So where the money was transferred to your bank account?
No, but if you walk into my store and you swipe your card, you're taking out something. I'm receiving the money. I mean, it's not in my.
You didn't receive it yet.
What does receive mean?
Receive means you get it.
Even if the credit card was processed immediately, if it was deposited immediately, I still don't have it. It's off in a bank somewhere.
It's in your bank.
Okay.
Your bank account.
Like the numbers
now
changed.
It's yours.
You know, the physical money didn't move. Right? No one took $20 and moved it over to my bank.
But now I have $20 less in my account than you have $20 more in your account.
Ah, so you already have $20 less in your account. If you went that 1 minute later onto the credit card site, it would show that you have, if you have, let's say, $1,000 credit limit,
but pending.
You have 980.
But pending.
Pending, okay.
It's still there pending, so it's not completely out.
That pending is for a bank.
It's not yours to spend anymore.
Not mine
pending
to spend
bank
anymore,
is
because
to
I
pay
owe
pay
it over
the
there.
Day,
right.
Pay.
So it's his chayvus, which means I owe you, but I didn't pay you yet.
But it's up to you when
it's
to receive the
mine.
Money, though. If you
so
have
it's not
card,
mine.
It's up to you when to receive
not
the money. Pending. Until you clear all the transactions for the day, you don't get the money.
Well, it happens automatically. I don't do anything.
You could
No, that's not true. No, you have to want a.
You can mail back the package. Don't you have 30 days to accept the package?
Well, no, when you have a credit card, you don't get 45 transactions in your bank account.
The question is, if you could always.
No, I thought after you close up the day.
If I'm a merchant
and they have your basket.
It happens automatically. It could happen at the end of the day.
Yeah.
I don't have to do anything. Well,
I
get 45 transactions,
and they have to take off my account.
No, right, but that's that minute. But it's not until you.
I'm not
funny.
I don't have to do anything.
But don't you have to being the merchant? Don't you have to finalize?
No, it all happens. I can go and review it if I want, but it all happens automatically.
But it didn't happen yet.
Okay.
Right. So the star K actually.
Why am I giving you my stuff?
What do you mean?
Half of the transaction happens, right? You did take.
Well, that's the merchant. Are you sending it out that day? Are you sending it
right.
out?
Right. So that's the question.
I would send it out that day, before. I mean, Amazon. You place an order, they ship it that day. They
okay.
want to get to you as soon as possible.
So good.
Not if you do stuff.
But that's because they know that you owe them money.
Right.
And that means, and they know they already checked in your bank account that you have the money there.
Right.
And they know that it's coming.
Right.
That doesn't mean they got it already.
No, but wouldn't. Okay.
So good, they're happy. They're happy. Halachically, there was no transfer of ownership. They didn't, there was no transfer of money yet. But there's an IOU.
There's a transfer of an object.
Not yet.
That you could reject.
Until I receive it.
Until you receive it. It's not yours until you receive it. Just because I sent something to you, right, it doesn't become, there's no Maisa Kinyan by me sending it to you.
Okay.
The it's when the new owner does something to show ownership.
Okay.
Right? Before then, nothing's happening. So if there's a transfer of money, right, where I'm actually from my bank account to your bank account, and the physical money is not as important, but there's a transfer of numbers from my bank account to your bank account. If that's happening, so then we can talk about a Kinyan Kesef. Then we can talk about actually there was I paid you for it,
mm-hmm.
right? So maybe the object is mine while it's on the UPS truck before it gets to me, because I already, the action, the Maisa Kinyan was done by transferring the money.
Mm-hmm.
But if that doesn't happen yet, and then I get the package before there's actually a transfer of the money, so then the Maisa Kinyan, the action of the transaction, might actually be when I take ownership, I pick it up. Right? When I lift this up, that's a form of Kinyan, of Hagbah, picking something up.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that would be the transaction. So the question is, online, is there ever a transaction or not? So the Star K, apparently they had a few different articles on this, but their position is that it is not a violation of doing business on Shabbos, because they are of the opinion that there's no transfer of money. And they go through, they explain the whole, all of the technical way that it works. You can go to their website and see the way they explain the processing companies, and some businesses have their own processors, and they check the funds, and they check the accounts, and then they finally move the money a few days later. Right? They go through the science of how it all works. So their position is that there's no transfer of funds. Right? So if somebody's buying something from my website, there's no transfer of funds. All that's happening is, you know, the order is coming in. They probably don't ship it out on Shabbos usually, right? You're telling me Amazon
but
does.
So when's the Kenyan made?
Well, good. When's the Kenyan made?
Yeah.
So that's their point. There's no Kenyan being made on Shabbos.
When's the Kenyan made?
Either when the person receives it and does the Maisa Kinyan on it, or when I get the money in my bank account.
Ah, so you should close your website on Thursday.
Close your website on Thursday.
Yeah, because, you know, maybe the transaction's from Thursday, I'm going to get all that money in my bank account on Thursday.
I have another question. Having a drink.
I mean,
you're saying it's going into the website. But that...
Have a direct deposit in
so that's a similar
obviously
thing.
Obviously, there's a Kenyan, and obviously
saying,
there's a transfer
a similar
money, but it's not immediate. So if you're saying it's not immediate, so, you know...
Are you saying you have to be worried about when the...
I don't know. It's just saying it's delayed doesn't answer the question. If you're saying the transaction is delayed until the money is actually deposited into the bank account...
Well, that means you can leave it open on Shabbos.
Because the money is not getting deposited in my bank account.
Because there's no Kenyan, there's no transaction. Once there's no Kenyan, then the assumption is that it's not in the rabbinic decree of not doing business on Shabbos, because if there's no transaction being made, there's no business. I mean, it wasn't included in the Gezeira. There's an IOU. There is a Chayvus. I owe you the money now because I clicked buy, and my credit card now says that pending, I owe you the money. Right? It's not mine to spend anymore because I owe you the money. But halachically, there was no transaction yet because nothing was transferred. Now others, and therefore, it's not included in the rabbinic gezeira of Mekach u'Memkar on Shabbos. Others disagree and say, no, this is a valid Kinyan in America, right? This is a transaction in America. An accepted Kinyan is, like you said, you take the card, you charge the card. That's a Kinyan, right? If that's the case, it's subject to the fine print, right? And whatever the fine print is, then that's subject to it. And if they retain the right to, you know, deny or whatever, so then at whatever point the Kinyan is really made, but that's really a Kinyan on Shabbos, meaning the swiping of a credit card or the plugging in the numbers and saying buy also might be considered a real Kinyan. That might actually be considered a transaction. If that's considered a binding transaction in American law, then that falls under the halachas of situmta, which means a valid transaction in the land that you're in, in which case that would be a halachic transaction as well, simply by clicking buy and giving them your credit card numbers, in which case there would be already a transfer of ownership, And therefore, that would be a violation, potentially, a violation of doing business on Shabbos. I say potentially, certainly for the one who's buying, if a person's doing the buying on Shabbos, but we're talking about where the Jew is doing the selling on Shabbos. So the Jew is doing the selling on Shabbos, so that gets back to the discussion of if you are a passive player in a transaction happening on Shabbos or ending on Shabbos, is that a violation of Shabbos? Can you violate the rabbinic decree of doing business on Shabbos passively, in a passive way where you're not doing anything? They're doing everything, right? They're just using my website, but I'm not doing anything. So that's also a question. That's what we spoke about last week. That's a big machlokes achronim. Now
this
not
making money on Shabbos, so it comes back to, like, if you leave your money in the bank, you're earning interest over Shabbos.
Okay, so that's an interesting question. Earning interest on Shabbos. So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva about that, whether you can earn interest on Shabbos. So Rav Moshe writes, So some of them are monthly, right? There is something called havla, which I think also we may have mentioned last week in passing. There is a concept called havla, which means that it's all kind of absorbed, mixed in to the rest of the month. So if there's a Shabbos included in a month, and you're getting, four Shabbos included in a month, but a Shabbos included in a week, and you're getting interest for the entire week, so then it's kind of just swallowed up, and it's as if it's, it's all in the same week, so it's not a problem. The question is, what if you have some type of account which is daily, right, a daily interest, or let's say a daily interest, right, accrues daily. So Rav Moshe writes that also would be okay, because the days for the bank's interest would be from 12 to 12, meaning from 12 p.m. to 12 a.m. to 12 a.m., 11:59 p.m., whatever. Meaning that would be their day, in which case, in every day, let's say Friday. So from Friday, as soon as Friday starts, at 12:01 a.m., Friday morning, so you're accruing interest throughout the day, and at the end of the day, it happens to be Shabbos, but the first part of the day was not Shabbos, so the part that you gain on Shabbos, also we assume the havla, that it comes with absorbed interest.
So then there's no problem.
And
the same
thing
on
Shabbos.
Your account on Shabbos, to answer your question.
That would be different.
Why?
Because
interest
is, we're saying that I can put all of this interest that I gain on Shabbos, so part of it I'll say, well, that I gained on Friday, and then the rest of it that I gained on Saturday, I'll say, well, I gained that on Motzei Shabbos. Right? That's part of Motzei Shabbos. So 2-day Yontif he also deals with.
But that's not, the money shows up in your account on Shabbos.
Right.
You're getting the money in
you
your
get that deposit on the 31st of the month, no matter what day of the week.
The deposit shows up in the AM, the extra $2 or $5 that I earned for the whole Friday, let's say I didn't even earn it on Shabbos, but I have five extra dollars in my account that's hitting my account on Shabbos.
Even 12 to 12 is still...
It's hitting my account.
It's hitting your account.
The money coming in.
Right,
the
problem's not the money coming in.
Well, no.
There are a few different... I'm sorry. It was my fault. There are a few different issues here, and each of them have different issues. One is business. Business is one story, right? Because there's an they're abundant of doing business. You can't do business on Shabbos. A separate issue is Schar Shabbos, which means that you're making money on Shabbos, right? That's the question of, well, if it's hitting my account on Shabbos, is that a violation of earning money on Shabbos? So I'm getting interest on Shabbos, right? I'm gaining interest for the day of Shabbos. I'm gaining interest. My account is growing. So is that a problem of gaining money on Shabbos, right? Not business. There's no business involved in interest. All I'm doing is my money's there, and they're giving me money, right? Bankers, you're giving me money. Thank you. You're giving me money for me having my money in your bank. So, but I'm not. There's no business involved on my part, right? I'm not doing it. There's no transaction. So that certainly is not a problem of doing business on Shabbos. The question there is whether that's a problem of gaining money on Shabbos, Schar Shabbos, making a reward on Shabbos, getting rewarded for your work on Shabbos. So that's the question that Rav Moshe Feinstein is dealing with as to whether gaining money on Shabbos. When the money hits your account on Shabbos, the question is Schar Shabbos, right? Whether I'm gaining on Shabbos or gaining for Shabbos. Gaining for Shabbos. It's really for something that I'm doing on Shabbos. That's a big question about, like, babysitters on Shabbos and waiters on Shabbos and things like that, youth groups on Shabbos. How do you pay them for the work they're doing on Shabbos? So there are ways around it. We'll talk about it now. It looks like we'll talk about it next week. But I guess you're right. So hold on. So that is a separate issue. So the question of getting interest on Shabbos, I believe Rav Moshe was dealing with Schar Shabbos, making basically getting rewarded on Shabbos. Now, I have to now double check the tshuva, because generally Schar Shabbos is for something that you're doing on Shabbos, meaning it's you're working on Shabbos and you're being paid for your work on Shabbos. That's a problem of Schar Shabbos. But just to be giving, give me money on Shabbos, I'm not sure.
But that's just what it is. If we're saying that the Kenyans made beforehand with this email, we're talking about business. The Kenyans made with that I accept.
Right.
It doesn't matter that the money's sitting in your account on Shabbos. It doesn't matter when the money is in your account.
If the Kenyan is made with the email.
Right. It doesn't matter what. And if the
unless the Kenyan is not made with the email.
And the Kenyan is made when the money is hitting my account, then there should be a problem with the money
hitting
my account
right.
when I'm making interest.
Right. Not interest, but the transaction.
The deposit.
Right. Yeah. No. I'm saying your interest in your account has nothing to do with business. But you're right. If the Kenyan in a business transaction is, it has nothing to do with my website being open on Shabbos. Now, there might be other issues of my website being open on Shabbos, but it shouldn't be a business issue if the transaction is not being finalized on Shabbos. You're right. That's the position of some, that there's no actual transaction here on Shabbos, and therefore the transaction happens when there's a transfer of money or goods, right? Something happening. But here, there may not be. So you're right. Then it should be a problem potentially to have it to make any sales from beforehand and then have the money deposited on Shabbos.
Well, isn't the same status as a check? Like, why is this a new discussion? I mean, checks have been around for a very long time.
Yeah.
And they work the same way as credit cards. You gave me something, I acknowledge that as payment. I don't, that's a halakhic transaction. If the money's not showing up in my bank account for a couple of days.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know when the transaction is
there
either.
Right. Especially as a check closer to a shtar, which I'm saying isn't. With a signature, I owe you.
How about take the deposit?
Right? In which case.
Therefore, is the IOU counted as a Kenyan?
Is that a Kenyan?
I would say that's even less of the Kenyan than the credit card.
Why?
Check. I still don't know whether I'm really going to get my money. I may have to come after the guy. And
you're saying
money.
You can't check the other guy's
right,
account?
Right. I mean, it's done, but. Not so much anymore.
If I give you a check, you're not checking my account immediately.
I'm still not
if I give you a credit card,
sure
the computers are
it.
Checking my account
right.
immediately to make sure that I have the money to.
It's more than sure that the credit card company pays you, regardless if they get paid.
But I'm not getting paid immediately. But they are checking immediately, and I know. I'm sure that I'm going to get paid with a credit card.
And a credit card is opposed to a debit card.
Right. The credit card company is sending the money,
right.
and then it's the credit card's responsibility
to collect
it.
Right. But they don't send it immediately either.
Right.
They also will have to go through the process. And the Star K and their article talks about the Federal Reserve is closed on Shabbos and Sunday, so no funds are going to be transferred anyway.
You just close the Shabbos and Sunday anyway, so the funds will get transferred only during
the Okay, I'm not sure.
Right. No, right.
You close your account on that day, but it's not really moving over, thinking about it.
Right. Is there ever transfer of funds on...
Well, the activity really... My bank's open on Shabbos.
Seven-day bank.
Special, yeah. But, I mean, the activity really, you have any kind of a transaction on Shabbos, it's not going to, show it as a pending type of a transaction until the following Monday.
Mm-hmm.
The following
right. If you deposit a check on Friday, it won't clear until Monday, even if it's next day.
It depends also what kind of check it is, who it's from, the dollar amount, so it's...
Why won't it go through until Monday?
Well, it depends if it's a personal...
No, credit card. Credit card purchase on Shabbos. Why won't it go through until Monday? You think it'll be pending until Monday?
Credit card? I'm not sure about a credit card. I'm just talking about any type of a transaction in general. I mean, if you would go ahead to an ATM and you take out money on Shabbos, it would still show... Yeah, I mean, it's your gain. But if you go ahead and make a deposit...
Yeah.
On Shabbos, it's not going to show up. It'll show as a pending deposit usually until Monday as well.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever do like online banking, everything will show pending usually until the following business day,
mm-hmm.
until Monday. Now I'm not sure. I guess it depends on the financial institution. When money clears and when it's every financial institution is different.
Play all sorts of games,
so
large accounts that people send out their money at midnight and receive it back over send out their money over their weekend to gain interest out of country and things like that.
Yeah, I mean there are all kinds of games people play and there are all kinds of you know, checks are different if it's a check made out from, you know, Josh Lieber or if it's a check from the IRS, you know, the bank will treat it differently, you know.
Right.
So it's when it's unclear, the IRS is cash.
This goes back to the gas station example, I'm sure. because I said there, and I was shot down, but I said that that you're not actually doing
nothing.
No hard feelings.
I said you, as a gas station owner, you're not actually doing a transaction. You're not involved at all. The computer is doing it. The gas station is processing the credit card. I'm doing the gas. Everything's automatic. You don't even have to be there. So the same way here, I cannot be responsible for when the bank is going to deposit the money. And obviously you're not going to say I have to shut down my store or my website on Thursday because the money might get deposited on Shabbos. There's enough of a delay that it's separated from me. So if that's the case, then you have to say halakhically, I personally am never doing a transaction when I have a website. Obviously there's stuff that's getting moved and I'm getting paid. But there's so many delays and variables and different parties involved that I am personally not doing business with that other person on the other end of the computer.
So when are you doing business?
I'm not doing business with that person. Halakhically, I don't think so.
It's the machines that are doing the business.
Machines, if I set up a website to take orders, to sell ads or something virtual where there's no delivery system, you know, I set it up and I walk away from it, I look at it for 2 years. I have no idea, you know, my bank account's going up. I never met those people. I don't even know what's being purchased and sold. You know, it's too far removed from me. How could I be held for, you know, responsible for any violations of money going into an account somewhere in Shabbos or someone clicking somewhere in Shabbos?
Mm-hmm.
That's not the sound of agreement, once again.
Still. I was there Shabbos night also. So. You shot down. It must have been okay with it. it just seems funny to me to say. It seems funny to say that I can have a website that I as an owner of a business am not doing business.
How halachically
it's not considered my business.
Why is it my business? Because I opened a bank account with money.
Sure.
I didn't set up the website. I'm not processing the credit card.
Yeah, but you're getting the money.
If you're not shipping the goods, you know, if you're accepting
the
orders,
how does he drop ship?
But you're paying. They're all acting on your behalf. I mean, they're all representing you.
Right.
And maybe the website is also. It happens to be, I think I mentioned this at some point, maybe it was Shavuot night, about there are some who say, I don't remember, it was late, I don't remember what I said Shavuot night, but that, you know, there is a big question about how do you view corporations in halacha, right? Whether you view corporations as an entity on their own, or whether they are viewed as, you know, the people who own them. I mean, that's where I see a little bit of a parallel. To say that a corporation can be viewed not as the people who make up the corporation, but of just somehow an entity on its own. So then maybe you'll say, well, then the website can also be an entity on its own, right? And the halacha category of a corporation, just like, you know, by a person doing business with the business. If I buy something from a corporation, I'm doing business not with a person, but with a corporation. So then why can't a computer be...
That's not what I was saying. I was saying that you took, look, when the, with the...
You're just saying you're not involved.
Right.
You're so not involved
right.
that you can't be considered halachically.
I'm not checking the
guy's hand. That's one way of meaning that's one kinyan. There's
Does
a
that
list of kinyanim.
Even though I didn't pay
handshake?
The guy yet, a handshake. I didn't pay the guy yet, and I didn't get my goods yet.
If that's acceptable. If that is an acceptable way of kinyan in wherever it is in that business, then yes, that's a kinyan.
So then obviously.
Then he's holding my goods.
And I'm holding his money.
And I'm holding his money, right.
But a kinyan has been made.
Yeah.
And obviously, as soon as I enter the transaction and it's acknowledged by the computer, then that's a kinyan. It's the same exact thing.
Right, that's what some say. Right.
Okay.
Right. The kinyan is made. Right. That's what not everybody agrees. Some people say the kinyan isn't made. There's an IOU. I now owe you money. You're saying, why is that any different?
I don't understand how there's such a question over... It seems like such a strong... halakhic understanding. There's got to be a standard definition for a kinyan.
Well, there is, except for situmta, because
right.
Situmta always changes with the times and the accepted business transactions of wherever you are.
But even
so, generally, yes, which is what all these things were listing: Kesef, Chatzer, you know, and a few, and there are a number of others also. Hagba, Chazaka. There's, you know, others as well, which are not as relevant for now. But yeah, sure, there are, and you need Das Kone, you need Das Makne, you need the Maisa Kinyan, right? So the question here is whether this is a Maisa Kinyan, right? So if that is this a Maisa Kinyan, or is the Maisa Kinyan the transfer of the money, or the picking up of the object, of the goods, which would be the Maisa Kinyan? One of those two can for sure be a Maisa Kinyan, and in which case all this is doing is an IOU.
So how did that work 1,000 years ago? If I met someone in the field and I said, I'm going to give you, you know, 100 dinar for your donkey, I don't have the money, you don't have the donkey, we shook on it. Why is it something new? We're making an agreement to do something. Was that a kinyan or not? Even though there was no transaction yet.
An agreement to do something.
We shook hands on it.
We shook hands. Right. So if that's...
Just
the question is the handshake a kinyan or the handshake an IOU?
Even more than a handshake, maybe we both signed something. We both wrote our names on it on a piece of paper. I promise to give you 100 shekel, and you promise to give me your donkey.
Right.
Right, and we'll take care of it over the next week. But we both agree, done is done.
Bracha
v'atzlacha.
Fine.
Right, so
it sounds like a star.
We have virtual signatures here. When I put in my credit card information, I have to put in my name. And me typing in my name counts legally as a signature.
Star, I don't think it's kona metaplin. I don't think a star is kona object. I think a star is kona karka. A star is kona land. I have to double check. I'm home into this. But I think a star is kona, in which case a star wouldn't be kona the top one, which means it's object, goods.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an IOU, but it's not a kinyan.
Can I write an IOU on Shabbos?
You can't write on Shabbos.
I'm saying, can I issue an IOU? Could we put a paper clip? Even if it's just a star, I shouldn't be able to...
You can't do business on Shabbos.
Right, so a star is just a star. A star is just a Kenyan?
Yeah.
So then I solve the same problem. So you can't have...
No, because if it's not a Kenyan, then it's a question of whether it would be included in the Gezeira of Mecca Chumem Karan Shabbos.
Right.
Meaning, you're right. It's business on Shabbos. But where I'm not involved...
Mm-hmm.
Right, it's a chiddush to say that when I'm not involved, I can still be in violation of an Isser on Shabbos. Right, that's a general rule on Shabbos. I need to be doing something to be violating Shabbos. I'm not doing anything. Generally, it's hard to violate Shabbos if you're not doing anything. Right. So if I'm not doing anything,
why is this any different than if you have a store and you're not personally working there, but
right.
you're not doing
right.
anything?
No, because that's your store.
Right, this is a website.
It's a virtual store. Yeah.
So obviously a store, I'm not allowed to be doing business on Shabbos, even if I'm not there.
Right.
So therefore the store, you know, whether I'm getting deposits on Shabbos or whether I'm accepting a shtar on Shabbos or whether I'm making a kinyan on Shabbos, obviously I can't be benefiting from the business on Shabbos.
Right.
So then the technicalities of when the kinyan is completed doesn't seem to make much of a difference.
Why not? In the store...
There's different... Portion.
You're saying, can I open a store and not accept cash on Shabbos? And not have them pick up and take any of the goods on Shabbos?
What do I have a house where people can look at
the
What? I have a store where people come and look at them.
Right. So why would you be open on Shabbos?
Right. No, they art galleries that, you know, people bid on, you know, could, you know, Sotheby's has an auction on Shabbos. Well, listen, there's more, I know Halacha may disagree, but there's more to business than just writing a check. You know, let's say there's the pre-sales and showing off the goods. You know,
right.
It's still a part of business.
Right. So you can't do business on Shabbos.
Right.
But let's say I'm not there, right? So then I can't make a kinyan. I can't have... Again, this is different because I'm not doing it. I'm not involved. I'm sitting at home. I'm in shul on Shabbos.
But you're sitting at home when your store is open.
And somebody else has my store open on Shabbos.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're saying, can I have my store open on Shabbos and not sell anything?
Depends on whether you're talking about
again selling anything. No, because in a store there will be a transfer of ownership on any goods that I sell, even if it's with a check, because the person is going to take that object that he's acquiring home with him.
Unless we say we're going to deliver it on Monday, UPS is bringing.
Right. You're saying make a store exactly like an internet website.
Oh. I'm not saying, I don't like
you. No, I'm saying, not you.
So that's the worst business I have.
Exactly. So it doesn't matter what I say.
Okay,
nobody would do it.
Just
right, but an internet website is a good business. So that's why it matters.
Right.
A store like this doesn't matter, so nobody talks about it.
Right.
But an internet website where it's actually working on Shabbos and selling on Shabbos, That's the question.
So let me just ask you this. I see we're not going to finish up here. You were talking about the details.
We didn't get anywhere.
We have
part three.
You're saying the fine print matters because they can.
There were a few things I wanted to write down. I'm going to have to listen to the shiur to remember what questions I need to write down.
You're saying the fine print matters, like if they can still cancel the transaction.
Oh, yeah.
But isn't that always the case? Even if I have a Kenyan. You know, and we agreed, and you took the money. I took the money from you, but I didn't deliver it yet.
Right.
Can't we still cancel? Someone can always say I changed my mind until I got my goods.
Not if the kinyan was made.
So I don't understand when the kinyan was made.
That's the question. Depends which kinyan you're using. If it's a kinyan kesef.
If there's no standard definition of kinyan.
There are a lot of standard definitions of kinyan. In halacha, there's a list of 10 kinyanim, which is why on Pesach, when the rabbi sells the chametz, he does 7 different kinyanim with the non-Jew.
Mm-hmm.
Because we want to make sure that it works. Because the question is, each one has a question.
7?
So I think the number is 7. Because
did
each
you,
one.
Did you tell, we sell that chametz to you? This.
Well, no, you gave it to me, you appointed me as an agent
to appoint
Rabbi Kelemer as the agent to sell.
Okay.
Yeah, but I was there at the time of the sale, so yes, it was all sold. I saw it happen, and there were 7 different
kinyanim.
Why
did you
give
everything
to Rabbi Kelemer? He's the Marad Astra, so he sells the chametz.
Can I ask questions?
It was sold. Don't worry, you didn't own your chametz on Tesla.
Okay.
But they do 7 different kinyanim, because there are a whole long list of different kinyanim, and the question is, some of them halachically apply to Goyim, some of them don't. Some of them only for Jews. Some of them only work midaraisa. Some of them only work midarabanan. Some of them work midaraisa. So we try to cover all of our bases, and we say, well, there's a suffix about all of these, so let's do 7, and we assume at least one of them will for sure be good. We hope all of them are good, and we also write in the kinyan that basically each one of them are standing on their own, because we assume that each one of them is good. Otherwise, we wouldn't just do them just to keep the non-Jew there for longer and drive him crazy to try to explain to him what exactly we're doing, you know, take him outside of the house, pick this up, pick that up, you know, all these different things. So there are standard definitions for kinyanim in halacha. The question is, do any of them apply to an internet website and buying? So the only one that might apply is Situmta, which is the only one which is not a well-defined kinyan.
Why is that the only one?
Which is not well defined?
No, which might apply to an internet.
What else
would
apply here?
I don't know the definitions, but there's got to be some concept of I'm giving you a shtar.
I have to check the shtar works.
And I'm going to give you and the money's on its way. I've given it to a messenger. It'll be there by tomorrow, and you're now obligated to give me my goods. I think.
Because I don't.
What about the olden days?
I have to check
the
shtar works on
goods.
I'm blanking on whether I think it doesn't. I think it works for karka, and I mean it works for kiddushin also. A shtar works for kiddushin, but that's because a woman compared to the karka of Eretz Yisrael, there's a connection there.
Is there a possibility that
if a shtar doesn't work on goods, so then an IOU is not a real kinyan. It's a hischaivus, which means I owe you something. But there was no transfer of ownership.
But there was at some point, or else...
Not yet.
Okay.
There will be when we transfer either the goods or the money.
So is there a problem with an IOU on Shabbos?
I'm creating an IOU.
Right.
Besides for doing business.
Besides for doing business.
Because again, normally talking about business is a problem.
Right.
Here it's unique to the fact that we can have a transaction without thinking or talking about business. My internet website can be doing business for me while I'm giving a drasha and shul, and I'm not thinking about it at all. right? So this is a different type. So normally in creating an IOU on Shabbos is we have to be having a discussion about business on Shabbos, right? But can a non-Jew create an IOU to me, right? Like clicking buy it on my website. Basically the same thing.
Isn't there a possibility that, let's say, the Kenyan is made when the money gets deposited into my accounts and everything clears, and that's when the obligation is, his goods now are in my warehouse, they have to
right.
do it, and it still happens on Shabbos, and it's still okay because I was not involved at all, and in fact,
yes.
any portion of my transaction, of my involvement, happened on Thursday.
Yes. Yes.
So that seems
the yes, but the question is whether we even have to get into that.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, what we tried to talk about tonight, I'm not sure if we got anywhere. But what we tried to talk about tonight was, is this even in the realm of having a Kenyan on Shabbos where I'm passive? Last week we spoke about if there's a Kenyan that happens on Thursday and I'm passive where it's happening on Shabbos, where it's taking effect on Shabbos, but I'm being passive, am I violating Shabbos? Right? That's what we spoke about last week. The question this week is this even part of the discussion? Because maybe there's not even a transaction happening here. Maybe it's only creating an IOU, a hischayvus, in which case there's not even a transaction. So it's not even, of course it's not in the decree, the rabbinic violation of doing business on Shabbos. There's no business being done here on Shabbos.
But if you're saying...
How could you say that?
No, I'm saying if it's a hischayvus, then there is obviously a transaction at some point.
Will be,
but
not on Shabbos.
Good, but then if you're saying that the hischayvus on Shabbos results in a kenyan on Monday, then the hischayvus on Thursday results in a kenyan on Shabbos. You can't have
right.
it without the other.
No, it's yeah. fine. You're saying regardless of whether...
At some point, I
understand. Meaning, even if... Right, okay. Meaning... you'll tell me if this is what you mean. That even if you say that making the sale on Shabbos on the internet website is only creating a hischayvus, and it's not a transaction, and the transaction would actually take place when there's a transfer of the money from your bank account to my bank account,
mm-hmm.
and that will happen on Monday. So if that's true about a transaction that happens on Shabbos, meaning the buy it happens on Shabbos, where the person clicks buy it happens on Shabbos, but that means that if the person buys it on Thursday, which is also only a hischayvus, only an IOU, then the funds will be transferred on Shabbos. I mean, at some point the funds will be transferred on Shabbos, unless funds are never transferred on Shabbos.
Except, I would say in this day and age, the standard brick-and-mortar banks are less and less, and people are buying via PayPal, which is its own bank, and Google, which is its own bank,
mm-hmm.
and they're
automatic.
24/7, and money can transfer at any time.
Money transfers at any time.
Yeah.
Money would transfer from my account to another on Shabbos.
Yeah, instant. PayPal. Yeah, if you're doing PayPal, PayPal's instant.
Yeah, PayPal.
PayPal's instant?
Instant, 24/7.
Yeah.
PayPal to PayPal.
I'm not sure.
PayPal.
So you have to have your own account. How does PayPal work?
If you have a PayPal,
you have to have your own account.
Yeah.
I have money in my PayPal account.
Yeah. PayPal to PayPal is instant.
Credit card. There's different ways to use it. We have PayPal on the website on Onshape. We use it for sisterhood payments.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. There's different ways you can use PayPal. If I have a PayPal account and I have money in my PayPal account, then it happens instantly. If I do not have a PayPal account, but the merchant only accepts PayPal, I can pay via credit card on the PayPal site without establishing an
account.
Then it
gets the bank involved.
Then it gets the bank involved. I'm not sure how long that takes.
Right, that's like that sounds like that would be like a regular.
It's
PayPal
possible
to PayPal.
That PayPal pays my bank instantly, and then they
for
call,
me.
Right. That's very likely.
Mm-hmm, interesting. So that also
mm-hmm.
could be.
Right.
He's paying for me. That's also probably a Kenyan. Somebody else pays for me.
Yeah.
That's a separate thing. That's called
yes.
epic signing.
Yeah.
That's also an interesting thing.
Yeah.
Or somebody pays for me. That's a whole. That's a whole Gemara about that.
But when are you actually shipping the item, the actual transfer of ownership of the physical item?
Sounds like it doesn't matter.
But if you do the transaction on Thursday, right? You're not going to ship it out on even if the money comes to the account. You're still not shipping it out on Shabbos.
Right.
Why
but now I'm holding your money. I'm holding your object.
Yeah, you hold my
object.
So
it's yours.
What?
But it's yours already.
But the item hasn't left my...
It's in your warehouse. My goods are in your warehouse now. But it's mine because I bought it from you already.
Right.
And now you owe me the goods. Right? My money transferred to your bank account.
Right.
So that's the Kenyan. And then you now have to send me my goods, which are already really mine.
Well, going back to making an automatic payment.
Right.
Because
you owe me
But that comes back to the whole fine print.
You basically can't ever do business.
No, but if you didn't get, if you didn't get
more than bargain for this topic, huh? Interesting though.
They don't have it anymore. It's the wrong
happened. Maybe.
So then what happens?
The IOU is ripped up.
You never had it.
But so then you're changing the
cookbook.
The what? Right. Then you never really owned it.
Oh, even if everything went well. And if I return it next day
later,
no matter what, the item is not being the item is not leaving the
right.
seller's possession on Shabbos, regardless
right.
of what the transaction is.
No. Well, right.
It's done on Thursday and January money on Monday.
The Maisa Kinyan, right. I have to check. If I buy something for you with money, and then you send it to me. I'm not sure if when the money transfers to your account, whether it's now, whether the goods in your warehouse are actually mine yet, or whether you owe me goods from your warehouse.
At
which point, when I get them, I am now making a Maisa Kinyan.
What if you do
a cash on
delivery and then
object?
This is a specific example. This Rav Shai, remember, if I buy something in your chatzar, it becomes mine. I'm not allowed to go grab it, but I have ownership on it. Because there's a question on whether it gets damaged after I purchased it.
Right.
And whose responsibility is? So if I buy, let's say, a cow in your chutzner,
right.
and then the cow dies, you know, who's responsible? Mm-hmm. It was already my cow. You don't have to pay me again for the cow.
And you did it.
My cow died. Yeah.
Your cow died.
Kenyan was done already.
Right. Right.
Now, that wouldn't really apply here, because if I bought a computer for Moshe, and it's still in his warehouse, and the computer gets smashed, he's still going to ship me another one. Like, he wouldn't
right.
consider that
right.
computer mine until he got rid of it. Right. I don't know if that
right.
matters.
Right. No, that would matter,
mm-hmm.
for sure.
Even until it's at my doorstep.
Right. Meaning when you're buying something from a warehouse, you're buying an item, not a specific item.
Right.
In which case, it may not be yours until you actually make a Maisa Kinyan.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd need two Kinyanim. I'm not sure. I have to double check on it. Okay.
Sure.
Yeah. Wow. We'll stop here.